Hey yo, everybody! Welcome to the Joey and Amanda podcast. I'm Joey.
And I'm Amanda. Thank you for being here. We are so excited to be back. It's been a lovely welcome. Thank you for everybody that has reached out and that it's everyone that's excited for us to start back up on the podcast in season two.
Yes.
Today we will be talking about getting ready for the hospital and possibly the birth story. If we don't get there this episode, we'll get there in the next one.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
I was thinking about what I said the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just clarify something.
Okay.
I was saying like this whole the whole experience of Benny's birth story was so horrible, mm-hmm. and I just want to clarify that. There were horrible moments where mm-hmm. we didn't know if you were going to be okay, and there were really scary moments, but there were also beautiful moments as well. And I think I was just trying to, just get my point across that it was so not what I was expecting that experience to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But it led to my guy, Benny Rudd, and it led to beautiful moments between like you and I. Like I feel like we. Yeah. are now on a new level that we never even imagined our connection and relationship to ever be on.
Yeah.
After that experience.
Definitely. It's definitely, at least for me personally, it was the hardest day of my life or the best day of my life.
Yeah.
Or one of the best days of my life, meeting you and marrying you, of course. Yes. They're all tied. But it was definitely a very hard day. And I think that I see where you're coming from mm-hmm. when you said that mm-hmm. quickly and you blurted that out in the last episode. I think it was just because people all of a sudden make it so magical, which it is. Right. And so many people do have great birth stories, but you don't really hear the flip side of mm-hmm. how traumatic birth stories can be.
Totally.
So I totally see where you were coming from
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, you were like unbelievable. I mean, I thought I knew how much like I loved you and appreciated you and looked up to you and was inspired by you and in awe of you. And then we went through that together and I saw a whole new thing and experienced feelings that I didn't know I could.
Yeah.
And so like that love and appreciation and admiration and awe and all those, like they went to a new place.
I love you.
I love you too. Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So we should start with the secret salad, right?
Yeah.
That's
a good place. It was the night before.
Yeah. We should give a couple of little things, I think.
Okay.
Benny's due date was May 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda was the biggest pregnant person I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
People were like stopping their dinners and pulling over to just tell her how pregnant she was.
I know. It's so funny because I just figured that that's just what happens when you're pregnant.
Right.
People point at you and like they like say things and I didn't mind at all.
By, everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like that actually happened.
I know. And I would just be like, yep, I'm really pregnant.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know. I had fun with it. I didn't really mind at all.
No, it was great.
But I thought it was normal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that people were pointing because I was like, it looked like I had, I technically had twins.
Yeah.
Like birth, I mean, weight wise, yeah. I did. So, yeah. So people thought I had like twins or triplets.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the weeks leading up to the due date, the doctor kind of made it seem like, you know, this baby was going to be early or.
Yeah,
on the due date.
Because I was so big.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
I'm very little. So I'm 5'3". And, on the thinner side. So I feel like my belly popped up even more because
totally.
Of it. I think if I was taller, I had a longer torso, it would look differently.
Right.
But Benny was definitely a jumbo baby. So back to that, I was very large, and the doctor kept telling us, oh, he's going to be early. He's going to be early. And then, you know, May 12th came around, May 15th came around, May 17th, his due date came around, not even close.
And he's saying, the doctor's saying, I'll see you tomorrow.
See you this weekend.
See you this weekend. Yeah. Pack your bags.
Yeah. So we already thought that there was that time, like the weeks that went by where we thought it was any day now, but it just kept stretching and stretching. But overall, I felt really comfortable. I mean, towards the very end, it was definitely hard to breathe a bit, but it wasn't to the point where I was like crying about it. You were
never like, get this baby out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. I was never to that point. I was still walking 10,000 steps. Towards the end, I was walking closer to like 5-ish.
Do you want to go into that a little bit? Like how much you walked? Or
I wonder if we already talked about that. Have.
Okay.
We might have. Okay. So anyways, I walked a lot during the pregnancy. So that was another thing that made me feel like he was going to come out quickly, because the doctor said the way that you are walking, you know, 3 to 5 miles every single day, and you're like hiking up these hills while you're pregnant, people like you that are very active, the baby just comes out easily. Mm-hmm. So we had that in our mind.
Yeah.
So with all of that being said, the C-section was never an option in my head for some reason. I never thought that I would have a C-section just because of what the doctor was telling me, which was very naive of me to not even put that in the equation, because then I wasn't mentally prepared for a C-section.
Yeah.
I also wasn't prepared to go to the hospital with a C-section. So I didn't pack for a C-section. Yeah. I didn't realize that packing for a C-section would be slightly different than packing for a vaginal birth. So I wish if I could go back, I would have packed differently. Anyways, I feel like I'm skipping a bit already.
That's all right. That's all right.
We'll get there.
But, you know, on the topic of like wishing they could go back and do something differently, I was thinking about around this time, you know, the days leading up to the due date, there's something that I wish that I did differently. I want to just say it now so I don't forget it.
Yeah.
So both of our moms were here too. They came out here.
They were at our house.
Yeah, they were staying at our house, and which was so great. But when I think back at how I was during that time, I remember like every minute or 10 minutes, 20 minutes, how are you feeling? What about now? And what's happening now? And like, I think over time, as we got closer and closer to the due date, and then as we'll like tell, like the days leading up after the due date while you were still pregnant, I think me like saying all that and like both of our moms both being like, what about now? What do you need? It just kept building more pressure on you and more pressure on you.
Yeah.
And I think like, you know, next time I'm going to definitely be more chill about like,
you're going to
tell us when you feel something like different.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to tell me.
Yeah.
I don't have to like every second be like, whoa, what about now? What about now? So
yeah, I feel like also both of our moms were just telling me, okay, have you gone and had your walk yet?
Yeah.
You know, you can bounce on the ball, or like every day there was this anticipation and there was this pressure, which I never shared discomfort because of it. I don't think if I think back, I don't think I ever complained about you asking me or anybody asking me.
No, I think it was also, it was subconscious, like over time.
Yeah.
Inside of you that you've started to feel this pressure.
Yeah. You know, actually, so my mom kept, you know, pressuring. So did Joey's mom and Joey, and even me for myself. I'm like, okay, I got to walk. I got to jump. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have to,
you're like, you
know,
having you
dancing,
like,
you were dancing and So it's getting intense. And there was also the pressure that our moms came out for a month and they expected that Benny was going to be born early. So the time was ticking for how long they could stay. And Joey's mom was also feeling like, oh my gosh, the baby's gonna be born and I'm gonna have to leave like the next day. It wasn't until Joey's mother Karen brought up, I don't know, she just had some type of clarity and she realized what was happening. And she kind of realized that everybody was putting so much pressure on me. And it wasn't until she brought it to my attention was that I realized that, you know what? Yeah, I am feeling pressured. Yeah. There is this like this bubble of stress around when he's coming, and I didn't even realize it was there until she pointed it out. So that same day after we all realized that there was so much pressure in the air and the air was thick with expectation, Karen, she led us through a meditation, a guided meditation in our living room, which I highly recommend for you to do. And I mean, I'm sure you can just download some, or there's some great apps out there that do guided meditation. I actually listened to the Grace app. I forgot. Joe, look it up. So I just remembered actually that I listened to, she has a couple great guided hypnotherapy guided meditation sessions on her website.
Oh, Grace Space Hypnosis.
Yeah, so Grace Space Hypnosis. I highly recommend that app. I downloaded it. I personally know Grace. She's a hypnotherapist, and she does a lot of guided hypnosis. But you can download these pre-recorded sessions, which I don't remember how much they are, but they're very affordable. I think they're like $20 or something. And they are so relaxing. So I did that after, let me rewind. I just had that thought, and I wanted to share it. For not everybody gets a Karen at their house. Not everybody has Joey's mother to do a guided meditation. So if you do want to have one at home, I recommend Grace Space. But going back to what I was talking about, Joey's mother did a guided meditation for us in the living room. And she just, you know, I feel like she, how would you describe it?
I mean, it changed everybody's energy about everything. We let go of all the pressure. All four of us did.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, right. The intention changed. It became less of like, we gotta go. Is it time? To like, whenever this baby is ready, then it's time.
Yeah. And it was really beautiful and powerful. And if you are pregnant listening to this, or you will be in the future, just keep that in mind when the days get close, because the time will pass.
Yeah.
One thing that's for sure is that baby will come out of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The days are going by. We finally have this moment. And at some, so we had heard that there's this place in LA that has these salads. And
speaking of just letting the baby come at its own time.
Well, I think we got to a place where we were so like, we were all connected and like, all right, this is whatever it is.
Yeah, we did let's it for
just,
fun.
Like, F it. Let's just try this thing.
Yeah.
So we heard there's this place. I forgot where it is. Maybe Sherman Oaks.
They have the labor salad. I'll look it up.
I'll give a little more background. So they have something called the labor salad. It's actually a pizza place. There's like testimonies and reviews from women who say that they were like, you know, past their due date or whatever, and they were, you know, ready and nothing was happening. And then they ate the salad and boom, the baby came.
I'm just going to spell it out because I can't pronounce it. It's C-A-I-O-T-I, Pizza Cafe. And it has the worst pizza I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Yeah, it's just not great.
Oh my gosh, it's like, I don't know, it's the worst pizza I've ever had in my life. But the salad was great.
Yeah.
And that labor salad just tasted wonderful. I had the whole salad, and I'm not kidding. I had the salad. I'm sitting there, it's digesting in my stomach, and within probably 20 minutes after eating the salad, the empty plate is in front of me. Joey and I and our mothers were all talking. Said, hold on, I need to go to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom and I lose my mucus plug. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe
the freaking salad.
The salad actually worked. Shout out to Noah, Joey's brother was actually there. He's the one who picked up the salad for us.
Noah.
Okay, so I ended up texting the doctor and letting him know what happened. And he said, okay, keep me updated if you have contractions. I was having what are those called?
Huxton Brogues?
Oh, gosh. Huxton Bricks.
Let's go.
No. Oh, Braxton Hicks. Okay, so I was having Braxton Hicks, which took me a while to figure out what that was. And I texted the doctor. I told him that I was having that, and he let me know, okay, well, I'll be on call. Let me know when you have contractions, and they're X amount far apart. I don't really remember. And then in the middle of the night, I woke up from contractions, and I knew it was going to be a tough day, so I didn't tell Joey. I just, like, walked back and forth in the room, and I sat on the ball, and then before I knew it, I told him that I was having the contractions this X amount farther apart. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah.
And we ended up going to the hospital.
Yeah. We're like dancing in there.
I know.
We got the music going. We're laughing.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
We have our little.
We're having a baby. We're,
I know.
Like having we're the time of our life.
I know. My really close friend had a baby a year before, and she pushed for 15 minutes. He came right out. She was laughing during contractions. She says she barely felt the pain because her epidural worked perfectly. So I was already envisioning that that's what was going to happen to me.
Yeah. I mean, Amanda's pregnancy was like really successful, and everything went really well, and everything
very smooth.
Went to the doctor. He was like, oh, everything's great. Best pregnant lady I've ever seen.
I know.
We're thinking you're just going to go, and then Ben, you know, Benny's going to be there. We're thinking about naming him.
Oh my gosh, it's so true.
We're going to name him
Dash.
Dash, because he's just going to dash out.
We did. That was one of our names. And we said,
if he dashes out, we're calling him Dash.
Yeah.
So that was not the case.
Mm-hmm. So what was happening is that I wasn't dilating more than, I think I was stuck at like 5 centimeters.
Yeah.
I think the doctor was a little bit upset with me that I asked for the epidural at 4 centimeters or 4.5-ish. Yeah. And
even though a nurse was sort of insinuating like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So that's why I did, because the nurse said, oh, do you want your epidural? And I said, oh, I don't know. Should I wait? She said, why are you going to wait? Just get it.
Yep.
And I said, okay. So I was very scared for the epidural, but it was painful. But Joey made the epidural so much easier because he put his forehead against mine and he held my hand and we looked at each other's eyes and when they were sticking the epidural in my back and just having his support and just feeling his body so close to me and just having that unwavering eye contact made it just so much more bearable. And I already forget the pain of the epidural. I can't even describe it. If you ask me 1 through 10, I already forgot it.
Mm.
But I just know at the moment it definitely was painful. So I think several hours were passing by. They kept turning me like some type of, I don't know, I felt like a cow or something.
Yeah, I know.
Like I just felt like like an animal.
Yeah.
And then they just kept turning me from my side to the other side. They had my leg on top of the peanut ball, and they just kept flipping me over and over and over every couple, I don't know, every half an hour, every hour, I'm not sure.
Here's where I wish, like, we did something different. I wish we had a doula with us.
Yeah.
I wish we had somebody there who was a professional,
midwife.
Who was on, a doula midwife who was on our side, on our team, who could guide you and me, like us, mm-hmm. through this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a rotating nurse. You know, this was somebody consistent who we trusted, who we knew.
Yeah.
And that is something I would 100% redo.
Yeah, we'll do that next time for sure. And that's something, I've never been hospitalized before. I mean, I had my wisdom teeth taken out, but that doesn't count. So I didn't realize that you weren't going to have the same nurse.
Yeah.
They're just going to keep rotating out, switching out, just looking at your paperwork. Like,
yeah.
There wasn't that connection and bond that you can really create with the nurses, I felt like.
Yeah.
And some nurses were nicer than others.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we were really green. We were just like, just trusting the professionals. And we were getting like different nurses saying different things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was confusing.
Yeah, I actually have a situation that happened to me before I got my epidural in. They were putting in my IV in my hand.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so they were putting that in, and I was really nervous. I don't like needles, and I had this nurse come in with another nurse, And right before she starts, I don't even think they greeted me.
Right.
And then right before she starts, she's like setting everything out on the table and she's explaining to the other nurse what to do and the steps on what to, like, how to put the needle in my hand.
To like essentially a teenager.
Yeah. And I said, excuse me, hi, are you practicing on me? And they were really shocked that I even asked that question. Yeah, and
speechless, I would say.
They were speechless. And that made the nurse that was going to practice on me really nervous.
Yeah.
So the other nurse just said, oh, never mind. We'll get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. Just remember to speak up. If you don't have somebody, if you don't have a doula, if you don't have a midwife or anybody there to speak up for you, definitely speak up for yourself. I also remember there was a part where, you know, you have to sign all this paperwork, and depending how bad you're feeling once you get to the hospital, sometimes it's hard to actually read the paperwork. Mm. And, you know, you just want to sign away. Mm. And I remember when we got to the hospital, they made me like sign a piece of paper. I read through it, and part of it said that if I signed it, I was going to give the doctors permission to use a clamp or like
forceps.
Yeah, forceps to pull Benny out if they needed to. And I just have heard so many horror stories of babies getting hurt in that process. So I made sure to cross off that section on the paper before I signed. So just keep an eye out for things like that.
Yeah.
So they were flipping me back and forth, yes. Like I was saying.
Yes.
They kept flipping me. Next thing I know, I am in excruciating pain.
Yes.
I feel everything. The epidural is not working.
Yeah.
And I'm telling them, they kind of don't believe me, but I'm telling them I'm in so much pain.
Yeah.
Until finally they check my epidural, where they put the epidural in, and they see that the needle has been dislodged.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting any of that epidural. So they had to remove it from my back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And they tape up. Oh, another side note for all the hairy moms out there. I think I shaved my back before this, but they tape your back so much.
Yeah.
That was actually one of the like really painful things that I can still remember.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of tape that they put on my back just to hold the epidural in was a lot. And then they're, you know, depending on the nurse, sometimes they're not gentle when they remove it. So I had like chunks of my skin being like ripped off when they took that tape off, on and off on my back. So bruises, bleeding on my back, bruises all over my arm from all that. But anyways, so they took the epidural out and took all the tape off, and then they put in another epidural.
Mm-hmm. I think we were like both were crying when that second one that was happening, because at least for me.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
So I was a little bit like relieved, I think, in that moment, because you were in so much pain and it was so horrible, but it was like kind of hopeful that they finally like listened and discovered that it was because the epidural came out. And then now the second one was going in and I was feeling like, okay, finally, this is going to like get back on track.
Yeah.
Because everything at that point leading up to that was feeling so derailed and out of control because it was like none of the nurses were listening to you and me. Mm-hmm. Nobody was like, you know, everyone felt like they were against us.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I can see where they can just get numb to this because they see so many pregnant women every single day and they're kind of like, you're going to do it. Like, you're fine.
Yeah.
It just gets to that point. So I think that's kind of the vibe that we were getting.
Yeah, I think so.
And then after the second epidural, going back to what you were talking about, I think it was after the second.
I think that seems right.
Okay. Yeah. So I started, whenever I closed my eyes, I started to just see, it was either the epidural or either another drug they gave me, I'm not sure. But I started to see just horrible things like fires and thoughts of like all the people that I thought that loved me don't love me anymore, and just like the most horrible nightmare things that you can think of that my brain has never even gotten there before. Like, I've never thought of these things, these horrible things before. So it was really scary.
Yeah.
So every time I closed my eyes, it was just the most horrible things were happening. And I remember when Joey woke up at one point, because I think you were trying to sleep or laying down at that point. It's just blurry. I told him. And then there was a point where I threw up. So
it was right around that time.
Right around that time I threw up, and it did feel better after I threw up. I think after I threw up, those thoughts like went away, but I threw up and it was so uncomfortable, like all over like my hair a little bit, and like, you know, I could barely move.
This was like by far the hardest part of the whole thing. I think these like couple hours that this was going on, you were so like, you were just so innocent, and it was just so sad to see you just like in this like state. And I just wanted to like switch places, and like, I know I couldn't have handled any of it as well as you were.
Like, I was just thinking when you said that, no.
Like, I know that, like, I know I would not have been able to handle any of this like for a second as well as you did, but just to like give you a break from this because it was just horrible. And I was like going into the bathroom and like crying, so you didn't see me crying. The room was just like a nightmare.
Yeah
It was just like, and you were just like in so much pain and discomfort and like scared and like your whole body was just shaking uncontrollably for hours for so many. And I kept saying to them, what's going on? Well, this can't be normal.
Yeah. Well, let's just like catch people up. Why that was happening for hours? The epidural stopped working again.
Yeah.
So that epidural stopped working again, and that's when I kept shaking, like what you were saying, and that's when I felt like
I just want to like her entire body was shaking.
Yeah, like a lot. I'm talking about, like, it's not like, oh, a little bit, like,
and it was scary. Like wild. A nurse would come in and I would say, oh, please, can you just explain this to me? This doesn't, and they would like treat me like I was like a little kid, like, oh, sweetie, she's just, and it's like, all right.
Yeah.
So at some point, the doctor finally comes in. I don't remember if I might have texted him.
Yeah, no, I remember this part. I was in so much pain and I was shaking and I felt like I was going to die. I for sure felt like I was going to die. And I know that in the U.S. is one of the most developed, like out of the most developed countries, we have a high rate of deaths during labor. And like, I know that in the top of my head, especially of women of color, you know, and I felt like, okay, so I'm going to die. And I would look at Joey and we both looked at each other and I didn't say it, but we both knew in that moment that like, okay, like this might be the last day or night.
It was absolutely horrible.
So I felt really bad and my epidural stopped working for the second time. And that's when I was shaking uncontrollably. And we told the doctors and finally the doctor said, we weren't speaking to any doctors. Yeah. Our doctor didn't even show up yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
So he had left. He came to check me like out maybe 15 hours before.
Yeah.
So we told the nurses that my epidural wasn't working and they said, okay, you're maxed out on epidural, like on the most that you can have. We can give you another epidural, but you're going to have to wait because there's a waiting line.
Yeah.
There's like seven other women in labor right now in front of you waiting for the anesthesiologist to give them an epidural and you have to wait in line.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that. I didn't even think that could be a possibility. I was like, okay, so I'm just supposed to just lay here in pain. And so that's another thing that I think people don't think about or aren't prepared for that might happen.
Right.
So we actually, in California, some practices have something that's called a concierge service, which is where you pay an additional amount of money to your doctor, to your OBGYN, to guarantee that they will deliver your baby and to guarantee that they will text you back at any time. Mm. So since it was our first baby, we were newbies. We're like, we're just going to pay for this concierge service. Mm-hmm. And it's so unfair for people that can't pay for it, but
it should just be part of
It should just
everybody's you know, service.
Yeah, I should just be part of everybody's service. Like, I feel horrible just thinking that some people would just have to, like, wait and lay there in so much pain. But because we did have the service, Joey texted the doctor and told him what was happening. So what he did is he sent an anesthesiologist that he personally knew from another part of the hospital to rush over and give me the third epidural.
Yeah.
So that's what happened.
Yeah.
I got another epidural.
Third one.
I remember by that point, I was laboring for close to 30 hours. Mm-hmm. And there's so many nurses coming in and helping, because by that point, my body was so exhausted and so tired of being in so much pain that I couldn't even lift up. So yeah, I do remember there was a lot of nurses just like holding up my neck, my head, my arms.
Like, there were like about six of us.
Like, it was like a room full of people just like holding me up.
Yeah.
So that's all I remember.
Like, your entire body
was limp. Head,
everything was limp. Completely.
I remember I was completely limp, and I also remember that I was in so much pain, I didn't feel the epidural.
Yeah. So then around that time, a little bit after that, finally our doctor showed up, and he walked in, and I'll never forget this moment for the rest of my life. He looked at you, looked at the nurse, and said, "How long has she been shaking like this?" The first thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, "Ugh."
Yeah.
Like almost 24 hours.
Yeah.
And he said she should not be shaking like this.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey man," I didn't say that, but I essentially said, "I've been saying this to every single nurse that comes in.
Yeah.
What is going on here?"
Yeah.
And they keep telling me it's normal. And he goes, no.
Yeah.
No.
So
they find out that you had a fever, you spiked a fever.
Yeah. So I don't know why they didn't think of checking to see.
I don't know.
But anyways, so I had a fever and I think something was wrong. Like my heart rate was up. The baby, Benny was fine.
Yeah, Benny was fine.
But it was me.
But they were worried about, because you had a fever now and that your heartbeat was changing, that was going to transfer to Benny.
Yeah.
So I think it was at that moment that he looked at us and said, "We have to do a C-section right now."
Yeah. Also, the third epidural stopped working.
Yeah.
At that point.
And at this point, we're 30 hours in.
30 hours in. I've been pretty much laboring natural because the epidurals keep failing. So I have three epidurals. They all stopped working. He asked if I wanted to do a C-section, and we said yes before he can finish a sentence.
I kind of don't remember him even asking. I think he just said, "We have to."
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Maybe he did. I just remember.
He looked at us and he just said, "We have to get this baby out right now."
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So maybe that's how it went. It's so blurry for me. Yeah, I don't really remember.
I remember. It was because the look on his face like scared the shit out of me, because he looked a little bit like scared.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's like moments like that, that like I can't like I remember those moments.
Of course.
Like,
yeah. You definitely remember more than me. Like,
we had a relationship with him where it was very like kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we would end all of our doctor's appointments talking about like fun things.
We're always laughing.
Yeah, always laughing with him. And then like this look of like, we have to do this right now. So the next thing I know, like, they're wheeling Amanda out.
It happened so fast.
Do you remember any of this or no?
It's like bam, bam, bam. I just remember slightly like going in an elevator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I remember that. Okay, so I have another friend that had a baby and had a C-section, but her anesthesia did not work. So she could feel everything, feel getting cut, feel everything. She was in so much pain, and this does happen to a small amount of people. And I felt that if I already had three epidurals that didn't work on me, that what is it? Like, what's the guarantee that I'm going to have the C-section and I'm not going to feel them cut me in half?
Mm.
So I remember when they laid me up there or down there or on the table, whatever. I remember when they laid me on the table, the same anesthesiologist that gave me the first two epidurals. Yeah. He did like, he put something like sharp on my side.
Yeah.
And he asked me if I could feel it. I did feel it the first time, but then I didn't feel it like the second or third. So then it did work.
Yeah.
But switch to Joey's perspective.
Are we doing this now? I walk in on the side of like the C-section first. And like they tell me like we haven't started yet, but like don't like look there. I'm like, okay. And I walk in. They told me that before. And I walk in and it looked like they had started because they were all around your bottom half. Mm-hmm. And then there was that big blue screen up and I walked in and I screamed, stop, because I thought that they had started.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we hadn't go yet. So
it's
probably a pointless part of the story. But anyway, No.
I think it's interesting to hear like your perspective from it, especially, you know, for partners that are going to be listening to this, just, you know, to get both perspectives. Sure.
Okay. So I go and I'm just sitting like where your head is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I came in like when you're talking to the anesthesiologist. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
And you're saying to him, like, basically, I don't trust you.
I remember I had to muster the last little bit of strength.
Yeah. And you were also so thirsty.
So thirsty. I was about to say that.
And like all you wanted was water and like you needed it. Water so bad.
I couldn't drink water for more than 30 hours.
Right.
So that made you thirsty.
Yeah.
As Joey.
Excuse me while I drink some water here. So anyway, I walked in during that moment.
Yeah. Let me just like emphasize how thirsty I was. I remember feeling like my throat was closing in on itself. Like sticking to itself in a way, you know, like every time I tried to breathe, like my throat would stick to itself. And it was the feeling of that I know it sounds absurd, but I felt like I was going to die of just like thirst. Like I was going to choke. Yeah. That was just like my feeling.
Yeah.
And I've heard other people's birth stories after mine. And I heard that this is a common feeling.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember, but they're working on it. And I'm just sitting there, like, just staring at you.
Your head is close to my head. Yes. I do remember that, which was really comforting.
Yes. All of a sudden, I hear, whoa. And then another doctor goes, look at that guy. And another doctor goes, he's huge. And there's just, like, this roar of the doctors going, like, whoa.
Yeah. And from my perspective.
Do you remember that?
Not that much, a little bit. I remember that, but I definitely remember them like moving my organs around because I could feel it. Yeah. It didn't hurt, but I can feel it. If that makes any sense. I know it's such a weird feeling. Anyways.
Oh my God.
So I felt like,
oh my God,
pulled Benny out. So they were just saying how big he was.
It was like a roar. And obviously that was like a good feeling. That was like, he's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see him come around the corner. Like I see him, like the nurse is holding him and she brings him around the corner. And I'm like, that's him. That's my guy. You guys, he was absolutely ginormous.
He was almost 10 pounds.
And like, so
and swollen
and the most swollen guy.
He can barely open his eyes.
Oh, he was so puffed out in every way. Mm-hmm. And this is a weird moment because it's like he's there, but like I'm also like worried about you.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're so happy, but you're so worried. So it's like
Weirdest. Nothing I will say right now will do the feeling justice.
Unless you have gone through it.
100%.
Exactly.
And like those circumstances where it's like everything that happened to you leading up to that moment, everything that I think could be happening to you.
Yeah.
Mixed with like, there's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really surreal. I feel like also the space that you were in. Then the nurse.
Yeah, I described this like a nightmare. What is it? The fun house, You know those houses with the mirrors that make you go like
There's also a movie scene.
Okay, so this is like really specific, but there is There's a movie called A Christmas Story. It's a great Christmas movie. And there's this moment where he's talking. He wants to go talk to Santa at the mall. Mm-hmm. And there's this elf that works for Santa. And she, like, looks at him and says something like, "You're up, kid," or something. But the way that they shoot it is it's, like, really scary. And it's like, woo, woo, woo. It's like,
you have to watch it, and then you'll understand.
It feels, like, a little bit dark to me, to be honest, also, at this moment.
Remember, I think we have to add on the men, you're like, where our mental health is at the moment. We haven't been eating like 30 hours. There's no water. No. You've been emotionally drained up and down, up and down. Yeah. There's, sleep deprived. You haven't been treated the nicest. Yes. So there's so much of that going that it's like hard to think clearly.
Yeah. The other thing.
So this isn't a scheduled C-section. Right. Like so many people have it scheduled, go in, you have a C-section, the baby comes out, you take photos, you're happy. Like this was different.
Yes.
So I think you have to give yourself credit too that you went through all of this. So of course your brain isn't going to think clearly.
Yeah. My brain was not functioning properly at this moment. It was malfunctioning, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, just to add on to that,
that you were going to talk about the nurses.
I was going to say we had been the nurses and doctors had been wrong a lot. Like, we had, like, kind of lost trust in people that were supposed to be taking care of us. Mm-hmm. And that was adding to it. It was a bad feeling.
Yeah.
Then now I feel like nobody likes us. And nobody's honest with us. And nobody's right.
Yeah.
It was just, like, all these factors, like, leading in.
Yeah.
Anyway, my brain's totally just, like, malfunctioning. And at this moment, the walls are closing in. The colors are all weird. Everything's all, like, fuzzy and
hazy. I'm pretty much passed out almost.
Last I know is Amanda has this spiked fever. Now she's cut open. Like, I don't know. She's not like moving or doing anything. So I don't know what is happening with Amanda. Mm-hmm. And a nurse comes up out of freaking nowhere and she gets in my face. And I swear to God, this is exactly how it sounded in my head. She went, "Give me your phone." Like, and it was like, when she said it to me, it was like the elf in that movie. Mm-hmm. It was like, "You're up, kid." It was that same thing. And it was like, and this really happened.
Yeah.
And like when she said it, like her face went like, it like had a weird effect, like a fun house, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And she goes, "Your phone, give me your phone." And like, she got like closer to me and like was mad at me.
Yeah. Guys, I'm just going to say, I'm laughing because of the facial expressions that Joey's making. But it's not a funny situation. Okay.
So I give her my phone. She takes a bunch of pictures that are, like, terrible. Because I'm just like, I'm not in the right, like, place for
you
this.
Yeah, Joey is not thinking about his phone or photos or anything like that.
No. So, anyway.
She took all these photos.
Yeah.
She had you pose next to me or something while I was like my mouth open, like passed out.
You actually look like you are not alive in these pictures.
Yeah. And you deleted the photos.
I didn't want them on my phone. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll regret deleting them, but I would fly through them if I was ever scrolling through my photos. I didn't want them.
Yeah. It's fine. I think it's
one little funny moment that happened looking back. Uh-huh. I don't know if I'm like talking too much, but
no, you're the one who has to be talking. I'm passed out at this point. I have nothing else to say.
So I'm wearing like scrubs, and this is obviously during COVID. I'm wearing a mask, like I'm wearing all this stuff, and like he turns his head and he looks at me like with his swollen eyes, like they're barely open. But I'm so overwhelmed in this moment that like, oh my God, this is my son. This is the first moment that I'm like seeing him, and he's seeing me. He's looking at me, even though I know he can't see. He's a baby.
But did you even know he couldn't see at that point?
Not I feel really. Like
you
I'm weren't thinking. Straight.
I'm thinking you're not thinking straight. So you are thinking this is the first time he's going to look
at
you.
Yeah, I guess so. So I take off my scrubs hat and I take off my COVID mask and like, because I'm like, I want him to see me.
Yeah.
And every doctor in there was like, whoa. Like everyone like went like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, sorry. And I put everything back on. But like looking back, it's hilarious that I thought that like I had to take off the scrubs hat so he could see my hair. Like what?
It's because you couldn't think straight. That's so funny. I know because you didn't want him to see you like that.
I didn't want him to see me with like COVID mask and like the scrubs head.
So funny. Oh my God.
So anyway,
and then there's that weird moment where they were like poking him.
Oh, man. Another nightmare moment. Even though now I know that after doing research, it's something that they, I think they do that to every baby.
Yeah.
They have to like.
Yeah. Like, I think your mind, though, like in that funhouse, horrible feeling, you know, made
the,
it.
The reason is because.
Well, let's explain what happened.
Okay. So, sorry. This happened right after they brought Benny around the blanket that was covering where the operation was taking place. Mm-hmm. They brought him to the corner where there was a table that another doctor was standing at waiting for this to happen. But I had my eye on him because he was so sketchy to me. He was so, he seemed like he was like an actor. He seemed like a comedian the whole time. Like just like fucking around in there. Leading up to it, like he was saying, like he was just like screwing with nurses and like he like the whole, like I could hear him leading up to this moment.
Yeah.
And he was driving me nuts. I keep giving him this look like, dude, come on.
Yeah.
And like, he's just like not taking anything serious.
Can I say something really fast? Yeah, yeah. I just want to share this with our listeners and just for us in the future. You could, for your birth plan, when you give it to the doctor and the nurses, you can tell them that you don't want them to speak during the certain times. Mm. Or you want them?
We just were so green, huh?
I know. We just didn't know. But I just want to say this for the future because so you glad. Can say, like, if we're going to have a C-section, I don't want anybody talking about anything that's not related to the surgery.
Yeah, that's great.
So, anyways. Yeah.
So, anyway, this guy, and he just was standing at his little area. So, they bring Benny around, and they hand Benny to this guy. Mm-hmm. And I turn, and this was right after, like, the uproar of, like, how big and chunky Benny was. Mm-hmm. He puts Benny down and he just starts like poking him so hard in the stomach, mm-hmm. which I understand like that is part of it, mm-hmm. but I didn't know at the time that they have to do that to I think check their reflexes, mm-hmm. or maybe to get some of the meconium out of them.
Yeah,
the
I'm right not word? Sure. Yeah.
Regardless, I understand now it's part of it, but at the time it, and he also made a comment at the, like when he poked him, like, look at this guy or something, like, oh my, like how big, something about his size. And I remember getting up and walking over there, like, what was I going to do? Like, my instinct was to walk over and like grab that guy, but I didn't, but I really wanted to.
Yeah. That's someone like you.
I know, but I was just like in a,
I know
like,
you, your brain is just
like,
mush.
Like I said, I'm malfunctioning.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that was another one of those moments that was like, nightmare. Like these feel, you know, the feeling you have when you have a nightmare, like a real nightmare.
Yeah.
And you wake up, you go, oh, it was just a nightmare. Yeah. Like I seriously could have woken up from this and gone, oh, it's just a nightmare. It felt so nightmarish in real life.
Yeah.
And I'd never experienced that before.
Yeah. And it makes sense now that you're retelling the story, just the way that you were treated and then what was happening with me, right. and the way that just everything was just happening.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that everybody who goes through this kind of experience is going to have this experience. Right. This was just sort of like all of the circumstances that we went through led to this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think some people won't relate and I think some people will. And and it's important to just hear all birth stories and just be mentally prepared for anything.
So where do we go from here? I mean, I'd like to tell like one of the most amazing stories.
No, you
I'll take a break. You go. I've been talking a lot.
Should we take a break?
Let's take a real break. We'll be right back. Okay, I want to tell one more story, but it's the greatest part of this whole journey. It's my favorite part.
My favorite part, too.
Okay, so I go, they take Benny into this other room to do a bunch of tests on him. I go with him, and shortly after, they wheel you in the bed that you're in. You're still out. Mm-hmm. And they tell me that you're going to be out for a while, like a couple hours.
Yeah.
So I'm in there with Benny. They switch nurses.
Mm-hmm. You're doing skin to skin with Benny.
I'm doing skin to skin with Benny because we didn't even talk about that, but I knew that was very important for you to do that. And since you were out, I asked the nurse if they could, while you were sleeping, put Benny onto you. Mm-hmm. And they said no. And I said, well, she wants to do skin to skin. And then they said, well, you can do it. And I didn't even like know that.
Yeah.
So I was just like, okay. So I took my shirt off. I got Benny. Mm-hmm.
Was it so great?
It was. It was like a really nice moment. And he was just like so big. which, by the way, like I was kind of like really happy about because like tiny babies kind of scared me thinking about like holding a little tiny baby.
Fragile baby.
Like, a little fragile baby is like scary to hold.
Benny was already pulling his head up.
He could hold his neck up like in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like after being
born. We have photos of it.
Yeah. We got proof. okay. So they switch nurses, which is important because this other nurse that comes in, I'm feeling like, okay, this nurse is great. Mm-hmm. Finally, like this nurse like gets me and us. And I mean, you're clonked out still, but mm-hmm. I you guys would connect if you were up. Yeah. Anyway, right after they switch, mm-hmm. Benny starts crying, and he's in like a little tray at this point. He wasn't on me right now.
Oh, really?
Okay. No, he was not. They had to take him off because they had to do something with him. So. Benny starts crying. Amanda opens her eyes. Now, they told me you were going to be out for like 2 hours. Mm-hmm. They said she's going to rest, let her sleep. She's going to be out for like 2 hours. And here you are like fighting the sleep.
I remember.
Turning your head, like trying to open your eyes. I'll never forget it.
I remember it was so hard to open my eyes. I know. Like weighted blankets for my eyelids.
And so I don't think you say anything, mm-mm. but you look, and I think you like were like trying to like smile maybe. Mm-hmm. And I turned to the nurse and I said, can we give him to her, please? Mm-hmm. And she went, she like literally like a movie, like looked around and went like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And she picks up Benny. She brings him over to you. She puts him down on you and he just immediately goes right to your boob. Mm-hmm. It was like connection, love at first sight.
Like YouTube. Instant latch.
Like, which now we know was like so rare and a miracle.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize that a lot of moms end up doing, babies end up having to have formula because their moms that are just had an emergency C-section are out for so many hours and the baby needs milk.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times they will supplement with formula and it could kind of like alter things. So breastfeeding was something that was always very important for me and something I really wanted to do. And I always just felt like it was something that was going to happen. So I was really happy. I remember I was so out of it, but I do remember the moment that you passed him to me. And then I don't remember switching sides. Yeah. Like you told me that he latched and then he fed on one side and he fed on the other side. Yeah. Like I don't have any recollection of like switching sides or.
Yeah. And by the way, that nurse was like astonished too.
Yeah.
She like couldn't believe that this was happening. For me, It was incredible. It was it was so beautiful. After everything that happened, mm-hmm. like all of a sudden now this is happening, and it's like it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it was perfect, mm-hmm. and it's my favorite moment.
Yeah, mine too.
So
I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
I'm trying not to cry.
I know. Me too. I love you. I say we're back to the first week postpartum, remember?
Oh, man. I cried so much. I don't think I've ever cried so much. Like,
I know.
Daily.
I know. You were like, that was another thing people don't talk about, too. Is of course, I already knew this was going to be an emotional thing. You have a new baby. Like, there's so much love. There's so much change. You're so happy and overwhelmed. But and they don't really talk about the postpartum for men.
Yeah.
I remember you were just crying so much when you talked about the situation. You're so overwhelmed with emotion.
Yeah.
And then recently we went to a wedding and you talked about it with another dad that recently had a baby. And he's like, I was crying so much.
Yeah.
Like postpartum. You're like, me too. Yeah. So I guess it's a common thing.
Every time I just thought about the experience, I just start crying. I couldn't help it. It was
But it wasn't like crying because you were sad.
No, it was like crying because of you, like just how incredibly grateful I felt for everything that you did and went through, like for our family. I couldn't believe how you did that.
Yeah.
Like, I still can't believe, like, how you did that.
Yeah.
And,
me either.
Yeah. And then just to have that moment in that room with that happening was, like, after so many just, like, it was, like, one bad thing after the next. Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was, like, I was finally realizing, like, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, now, like, I'm seeing glimpses of, like, your, like, you again.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
And then just the fact that, like, Benny and you now have this moment. It's just, like, it was
the best.
It was the best.
Yeah, that moment was the best by far at the hospital, especially because once we get to our room, I feel like that's one of the toughest days also. I mean, doesn't compare to the day, Benny's birthday, but it was very hard. The aftermath of
almost like that whole thing is a new chapter.
Yeah. Post baby, post
Benny. Let's break it up. Let's do that next time.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to cut it here.
Yeah, we'll leave it here. I think the hospital, the postpartum section in the hospital was hard also. Yeah. And there's so many details. There's so many things that I also want to share that was difficult and what I learned. And I just want to help others and, you know, like what to pack. And,
yes, yes.
And it's...
Things we learned.
Yes, things that we learned. I think it's also so important because it would change your experience there.
Yeah. I mean, if I heard these things before, it really would have made a huge difference, I feel like.
Of our mental health at the hospital.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
So we definitely want to share that. I think it's important. It's pretty, I think it deserves its own time. So
I agree.
Let's talk about it next. And
we also have a bunch of questions that were sent in. Mm-hmm. So we'll do those next time as well.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds great.
Wow.
I know that was a lot. I don't know if it's
draining.
I was about to say, I don't know if I'm tired because it's 11 o'clock at night and we had a long day, or I don't know if I'm tired because we just went through all of that mentally.
Yeah, again. I'm going to go with both on this one.
I know. It's a lot. I know our podcasts are usually a little bit different, but we had to get real for this one and just.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for all the kind messages. Thank you for all the questions you sent over. Like Joey just said, we haven't forgotten. We will be answering your questions in the next episode, which I know will just pop up new stories along the way. Yep. So I'm excited for that. And hope you have a great night, day, or afternoon.
Definitely. Thank you, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.